50 yards more and we catch sight of Kaminga again. This time he's standing stock still, his heels dug into the ground, planted a few feet apart. The blowpipe is pressed to his lips and pointing upwards, stiff and straight like a flagpole on a parade ground. His left hand holds the bamboo weapon tight to his mouth. His right he uses to bring balance and to give direction to his aim. A rapid gulp of air inflates his cheeks. The veins in his neck bulge. He rocks his head back an inch and then unleashes an exocet blow. His whole body whiplashes forward, the dart bursts soundlessly from the end of the bamboo pipe, slicing the air with aerodynamic efficiency. It's a miss. Quickly, and with no sign of consternation, he reloads. He removes the second dart from the sheath hanging around his neck. Dangling from the same string is a set of piranha jaws. He takes the homemade fish scissors and etches a groove around the dart about an inch from the tip. He then reaches into the third and final element of his homemade arsenal, a hardened fruit shell, and pulls out a bud of fluffy cotton. This he rolls between his thumb and forefinger, wraps it around the dart's base and shoves the now armed arrow into the blowgun. Again he takes aim and fires. Again he misses. Immediately he sets to preparing a third dart. Even a good hunter needs four or five shots to hit their target. The process of reloading takes no more than 15 seconds. It's time enough for me to try and catch a glimpse of what he's aiming at. I look up and spot the object in his sights at the first time of trying. It's an adult spider monkey. I can just make out his colouring. The back black, the chest a speckled white. Sitting motionless on its haunches, the monkey is resting on a sturdy branch directly above us. It doesn't appear to be looking our way, or that must be alert to our presence. The shot is a clear one, thanks to a gap in the trees. The monkey is preposterously high up, at least 120 feet from where we're standing. The chances of Kaminga hitting it strike me as highly remote. If I were a betting man, I'd give him 10-to-1 chance. It's lucky I'm not. With the third dart, his aim is truer. The arrow plugs into the monkey's thigh. Whoa, you're the man! I'm jumping up on the spot like a football fan celebrating a last-minute goal. I hold up my palm to high-five the hero of the moment. The gesture confuses Kaminga, but he grips my hand anyway and crunches my finger in a celebratory handshake. I carry on whooping like an idiot. Kaminga, by contrast, is intent on acting cool and professional. Even so, he can't help the corners of his mouth curl upwards with involuntary pride. Meanwhile, on the branch above, the monkey is looking understandably agitated. It's scratching at the arrow with padded fingers. The dart snaps, leaving the top 2 inches above the piranha serration, lodged in his upper leg. Now Ginto steps up. He takes the blowpipe from Kaminga and also raises it to his mouth. It takes him 3 attempts to strike home as well. He catches the monkey in the chest. With the second blow, the embattled primate finally loses its balance. Instead of falling off its perch, it hangs there, suspended by its tail, which is latched fast to the branch. Dangling below it, its hands and feet punch the air 1-2, 1-2, just as a boxer might in a pre-fight warm-up. Minutes pass. Down below, Ginto is clapping and shouting, provoking the animal to continue its fight. The two darts are tipped with a powerful anesthetic. What the monkey doesn't know is that with every punch, its heart is pumping the poisonous bark extract through its bloodstream. Gradually it grows drowsy, its punches now more like the sluggish jabs of a boxer on the ropes. At last it falls still. Ginto stops with his shouting. For a few seconds the scene is motionless. No one and nothing stirs. And then, as we are standing there looking up, our necks straining, the quivering shape of an infant monkey runs along the branch and approaches its inert parent. A few feet away, the baby stops. It looks down, bewildered, and then scuttles back into its hiding place. It's the briefest and saddest of farewells.